Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Revamp your home this May with our fresh new curtain and bedding designs. Discover comfort and style for every room.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number, as always, 0818 715 815. Some developments on Lucan Lodge. It's the nursing home in Lucan Village, obviously run by Passage Healthcare, which is the same company that ran Sally Park Nursing Home, which was shut down following HICWA inspections, numerous inspections, and eventually it was shut down and closed about 6 months ago. And then a whistleblower, as you heard yesterday, brought to our attention some serious issues in their other nursing home, which is Lucan Lodge. And these were drawn to the attention of HICWA. And on Friday morning, May the 17th, HICWA basically took over Lucan Lodge. And that's only the seventh time in the last 5 years, and that includes COVID, by the way. That's only the seventh time in the last 5 years of the hundreds, of, if not thousands, of nursing homes in Ireland that HICWA have actually stepped in with such a draconian measure. We've been trying to get a spokesperson from Passage Healthcare, as people know. This is the latest we have, is Sheila King. She's from Director of Operations at Passage Healthcare. We've asked Sheila, is the nursing home currently open? It is. Has it plans to close? And they said, unfortunately, due to a failed examinership, the company had to go into liquidation. The HSE is supporting the nursing home and family and residents of the nursing home to find alternative accommodation. Is it now HICWA compliant? The nursing home tell us it's HICWA compliant. Well, it was HICWA compliant. Why did HICWA send in the HSE on Friday morning? But anyway, the company are telling us it is HICWA compliant. Has the HSE taken over the running of Lucan Lodge? We asked. The HSE is working with Passage Healthcare to assist the closure. What are the long-term plans for current residents of Lucan Lodge? Unfortunately, at the moment, we are working with the HSE and families and our residents to try to find alternative accommodation. Now, last night, there seemed to be a gathering of families and relatives of the 74 residents in Lucan Lodge. And this is a statement that they issued afterwards. Our 74-bed nursing home is a vital part of our community in Lucan. It provides essential care for our elderly population, who deserves stability and comfort. We must act now to preserve this facility for current residents and future generations. Our mission is to rally together and preserve the invaluable care and sense of community that the nursing home provides. We firmly believe that every elderly resident deserves a place they can call home, where they feel safe. And remember, safety was a serious issue raised again and again by HICWA, fire safety in particular, supported and cherished. Closing our nursing home would mean tearing apart the bonds and relationships that have been nurtured over the years. We, the staff, are committed to working tirelessly to find innovative solutions. So it says we, the staff. We hope this petition, this is a petition that's been started, obviously, by the staff, can somehow reach those who can secure funding. Because remember, Passage Healthcare was a profit, well, non-profitable lately for some reason, it seems. Was a private nursing home, which are the vast majority of nursing homes in the state. Please sign and chair this petition and help save the nursing home in Lucan Village. But the Passage Healthcare are adamant that Lucan Lodge, unfortunately, for the residents, is closing, but they say it is HICWA compliant. Well, then if it's HICWA compliant, does that mean all the safety, fire safety issues have been addressed after nearly a year? And if that's the case, I don't know, can another company come in and run the nursing home? Because they are profitable. I know it's very hard work, but they are profitable once you can fill your bed, so to speak. But if it is HICWA compliant, well, then surely Passage Healthcare, you should be able to sell it as a going concern. And by the way, the HSE, let's be clear about this, the HSE are not at fault here. I know the HSE get blamed on everything, but they're not at fault. They didn't run the nursing home. There was a private company who ran the nursing home, a private company that got widespread publicity in the newspapers in Ireland when they came in 2017, saying they were going to dominate or run or take over the whole private nursing home sector within 3 or 4 years, and they would have their own pharmacy chain, etc., etc. We've been unable to get a spokesperson from this international company, who their website says they are the leaders. Andrew Turner, one of their principals, he's based in the States, is one of the world's leading experts on nursing homes, if not the leading expert. That's from their website I read out. So we'll keep people up to date, because it is very distressing for the residents. And that was the first foremost concern of HICWA, I presume, and the whistleblower that contacted, was the safety of vulnerable residents. So we'll keep you up to date on Lucan Lodge. Now, another issue that came up on the programme before. Sean Tio Salik. Sean, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
You've contacted us about your brother, Thomas Weeks, who unfortunately was killed a number of years ago. What's the issue at the moment, Sean?
Oh, well, in 1992, he was just walking home, and he crossed paths with a guy who was known in the neighbourhood and well known to the guards, and he was attacked.
Carl Holmes was his name.
Yeah,
the man who attacked him.
That's who attacked him, and Thomas died a week later. So he was he managed to get home after the attack, and he was suffering with injuries for a few days after he got home, and neighbours and friends pushed him to go to the hospital. Finally, after nearly 5 days or 6 days, he went to St. James's with my mother, and they wanted to keep him in, but he left. You know, he left St. James's. Okay. And he got home that night with my mother, and he really wasn't well. I put him to bed, so I would have been the last person to talk to him. And he couldn't even, you know, take off his boots or anything. I helped him with that. Mm-hmm. And you know how they advise you to keep an eye on the person with the head injury. Yeah. So when we went to check on him later on, he was in a fit. So the ambulance took him down to St. James's, and exactly one week later, he died. His brain died, and they switched off the machine. So a case started.
Just to be clear, Sean, your brother was 19 years of age.
Actually, he was a week. He died just before his 24th.
Okay.
On the 24th birthday. On the 20th of October, he would have been 21.
And he was attacked in Tallaght. It was an unprovoked attack.
Yeah.
Okay, and he had a family of his own. So the issue now is, I know it's a long time. Carl Holmes, unfortunately, was killed in another incident. And the issue now is you're going back to 92, to the early 90s, and you want to try and retrieve some material.
Yeah, what happened was obviously a case started against Carl Holmes. And so, you know, when my brother passed away, the neighbours were in the house, the police were down the whole time, and detectives and stuff like that. So we all gave statements and things, and then they asked for his clothing that he was wearing on the night, because the clothes was covered in blood. There was even a can of beer inside his inside pocket that was kicked so hard that it opened, you know. So there was a shoe mark on his face for about 2 days after the attack. But anyhow, the guards asked for the clothing, and I had it because I put him to bed. And so I didn't want the jeans back. I told the guards at the time I didn't want the jeans or the t-shirt or the shirt back because it was just too bloodstained. But I did want to keep his boots and his leather jacket. And they said that as soon as the case would be over, that I could come up to the station and just get it. And I was about 15 or 16 at the time. So after the case finished, I went up a number of times to the station and did make some calls. But was always kind of just fobbed off and passed on and told to come up a certain other day, or they dropped it down in the car. And it just went on for years till I kind of gave up, you know.
And where are we now? It's such a long time, that's the problem. But where are we now? Because it was used in evidence, isn't that correct?
Well, actually, I think because it didn't go to trial, there was a plea bargain the DPP accepted. Well, then I didn't get into all of that. But they just seem to have, I just never got them back, you know. And I tried over the years, you know, and obviously they were in the evidence room, but I don't know what happened after that. And they were important, Joe, because at the time, you know, jobs weren't too easy to get in Ireland. And he had finished what they used to call ankle. I think that's false now or something. Yeah. And it wouldn't have been easy to get a job from Ayr area as well, you know. But there was a local guy who set up his own business with the help of the RDA, and he gave Thomas a job. So with his first pay packet, he bought that jacket and the boots. So it was really important to us for that reason as well, you know. It's the first time in his life he had his own few bob.
And do we know what the filing system, what the evidential filing system is in the Gardaí? Do they, and I can't believe they do, but what they say after 30 years we discard?
I think so. I never really got a proper answer when I did check. You know, when I went, I'd go up to the station when I was a teenager, they were very nice to me. You know, when they came down to our house, they knew we were absolutely the victims. And they were very good to us. They'd come down and have tea with us and take statements and all. And it was kind of like one of them just said, "Where is his clothes?" And my mother said, "Well, Sean has that." So I went up and got it from him. But I didn't want to hand it over, even though I knew it was very the case. And I just said, well, I definitely get this back, you know. And he said, yes. He said, as soon as, you know, the whole thing is done and dusted, just come up to the station. And whenever I went up, they were very nice to me. You know, the Garda were always very respectful and kind. I would ask about the family and stuff, and but they would just say, "Could you come back another week?" Or they'd give me a day or something like that. And sometimes I'd just call. There was no mobile phone then even, but I'd go to the payphone and call and talk to somebody on the desk. And it just seemed to be fobbed off and went on. I can't imagine what happened to his clothing. I suppose if somebody said to me, "Are you angry?" or you know, upset about it, I always imagined that they probably gave it to somebody homeless or something, in which case, okay. But I just never got an answer, you know. It's not okay, but, you know, I mean, I did want them, you know. We had other things that he owned that you could keep as keepsakes.
Of course, yeah, people do, obviously.
Yeah, this was his first real job, Joe, and he was very proud of his, you know, taking care of himself, and he had his girlfriend and a job, and those were the clothes he was wearing when he was attacked, and those were the ones that I wanted. You know, it kind of, you know, with his check, with money he got, you know, it gave him a lot of dignity to have a job and to be able to buy clothes for himself and good clothes, you know. And it wasn't the value of the boots or the jacket. You know, back then, I remember when I made my communion or confirmation, the big thing was to have a leather jacket. And we were poor, so we didn't have leather jackets. You know, it wasn't even the price of it. It was just, and as well as that, it's just that, you know, for it to go missing, for the guards to have it, and then you don't get it back.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem right, you know, especially after, you know, going through a death like then the case and have been victimized, you know, in that way, for the guards to have not managed to give me a proper answer or return, you know, his clothes to me or to the family, whatever. It's just so unfair, you know.
Okay. And the points are well made. Thanks indeed. That's Sean T. O'Sallick. Joe at RT.ie, 51551 is the text number.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Revamp your home this May with our fresh new curtain and bedding designs. Discover comfort and style for every room.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Sarah Bourne. Sarah, good afternoon.
Hi.
What's your situation at the moment? You have a dog called Buster.
I have, yeah. I'm not allowed to have him. My housing officer knocked out and seeing that he was here. So he's given me 14 days to rehome him. So I had sent in a picture to Southeast Animal Rescue, and I can't thank Claire and the staff over there enough for everything they've done for us. I did initially have him up for rehoming, and I weren't expecting the response that we got from the post that was put up. He's the sweetest little soul, and I don't want to give him up. I don't think I should have to.
Yeah, but who would a housing or a body that you are have your accommodation with? They say we understand the importance of responsible pet ownership. But tenants who own pets must adhere to our policy. As part of our commitment to maintaining a safe environment for tenants, children and local residents, we prohibit certain breeds of dogs deemed dangerous by law. Would-be tenants are made aware of this rule before a tenancy is granted, and by signing a tenancy, the resident agrees to abide by this and not keep a dog deemed dangerous. The 10 breeds deemed dangerous in the law are in the Control of Dogs Regulation 1998, and your dog is one of them, isn't he? Buster.
He is, yeah. But he's a Staffordshire Bull Terrier.
And when did you become aware? Like, how long are you into a housing?
I've been into a housing a year in August.
And were you allowed? Were you aware that they don't allow dangerous breeds?
Yeah, I was aware, but I did explain the situation when, before I had signed for the house, I was asked if I had a dog, and I told him that I had a dog. I told him the breed of the dog. So I had taken Buster in anyway because we've been his only family from birth. So I wasn't going to give up on him. There hasn't been any issue. He's never unattended. The only threat that dog would be is to an unattended sandwich, and that's about it. Like, and he's. Mm-hmm. He's quite therapeutic for my 7-year-old daughter. She sleeps with him. She suffers really bad with night terrors. And he soothes her. He soothes her when she wakes up having bad dreams. He's never done a thing wrong. He doesn't do anything. Nobody even knew I had the dog up until a photograph was sent in by a neighbour to say that I had a restricted breed. Mm-hmm. Now, when the housing officer came out, he was so apologetic, and he was very sympathetic as well. And I initially did just have Buster up for a rehome, but I wasn't expecting the response. And I genuinely, honest to God, don't feel like I should have to part with him. Sorry.
But also, Wexford County Council also say, I know there you're not a tenant of theirs, but this is their guidance. As since the start of 2016, tenants of Wexford County Council are not allowed to keep dogs defined as controlled breeds under the control. Like, why is your dog? I know dogs are different, but breeds are generally not. But your breed, unfortunately, the breed is down as a dangerous dog.
I know, but I don't think it's fair to paint them all with the one brush. Like, I did offer to get him a temperament test done and stuff, and I personally feel as though if he passes it, which I know he will, he should be left with his family. Like, he is an elderly dog. So I just don't see why.
What age is Buster?
He's 10.
How long do the staffies live for?
Well, they roughly have a life expectancy of about 13 years. Because he's only a small staffy, he's not a big one.
But he is a member, no fault of his, but he is a member of a breed that is deemed dangerous in Irish law.
I know, and it's not fair. Like, there should be a law to say that if the dog has done no wrong, there's been no report of him aggressive.
But Sarah, isn't the problem is the dog has done no wrong so far. Like, they didn't just pick American Pit Bull Terrier, English Bull Terrier, Staffordshire Bull Terrier, which is Buster, Bull Mastiff, Doberman Pinscher, German Shepherd, Rhodesian Ridgeback and a Rottweiler as their dangerous breeds. Now, he doesn't have to be put to sleep.
I know, but I just don't see why he should have to leave the only family he's ever known, given his age. He's been with us from birth, and he's never been with anybody else. He's only been with us, so I don't see why we should have to give away a family pet for no reason at all, just because of his breed. It's not fair.
But were you aware when you moved into Tua Housing, and they're a great organisation, Tua Housing, were you aware that you couldn't have a staffy?
Yes, I was aware.
And then how did you get him in?
I just took him with me from my previous address because I was private renting, so yeah. it was fine. And then I moved in here, but I was trying to transfer back out.
And restricted breed, I presume when you have Buster out walking, he has to have a muzzle.
Yes, yeah.
And what else? What is, he has to be in a strong lead, doesn't he?
He has got a strong lead, yeah.
And he has to have someone over the age of 16.
Yeah.
With him.
Yeah, and that's always the case.
Okay. And he has to be wearing a collar with his name and address of the owner on it.
Yeah, I have everything. I have a license and everything for him. Like, he's done no harm to anybody or anything. Like, he's an elderly dog that just, he's happy to just live out his life. Like, I don't see why he can't just stay with us.
Well, what
in the home that he's only ever been in.
What the state says, no, and we've seen some down in your part of the country, we've seen horrific injuries, but no breed of dog is currently banned in Ireland. But if you have certain types of breeds of dog, there are additional rules. This applies to the following types of dogs, and it's the list again, and it goes beyond the Rottweiler, it goes to the Japanese Akita, the Japanese Tosa, and the Band Dog. But it does include the English and the Staffordshire Bull Terrier, which is your Buster.
Yeah.
Now, I understand you're upset because I know how people love their pets. But Sarah, would you have to leave your tenancy if you didn't part with Buster?
I'm not too sure on how it works, but I have got 14 days to rehome him, and then Tilwood will come out and see if I have the dog hidden somewhere in the house when they knock out to see if he is gone. I don't know now. I'm not aware of what will happen if he is still here after the 14 days.
See, because Tua say, we endeavour to ensure all residents feel safe, and this rule is in place to ensure tenants' safety. We have seen the devastating injuries and effect of attacks by dangerous dogs and are determined to ensure the well-being of all residents within our housing developments and to promoting responsible pet ownership. So they're adamant. Your Buster is not living in Tua housing. He can live somewhere else, but he can live, obviously, but he's not living in Tua housing. And they say that we're doing it for the safety of our other residents.
Yeah, but as I said, if he was sent for a temperament and somebody was to vouch for him to say that he is not.
And what is it? What is a temperament? How do you do a temperament test for a dog?
Well, you bring them to the vet, like, and they'll determine whether he's aggressive or not. Like,
and have you? Well, maybe that costs money. I presume it does. But have you done that?
No, because I had offered my housing officer for me to do that, and then if you were to pass the test, could he just be left with us? And
was the housing officer aware of a temperament test?
Not that I'm aware of, no, because when I said it, he just said that. Unfortunately, there would be no other way around it, like, that he is a restricted breed and that he is very sorry. He is a lovely dog and all, but it's just down to his breed.
Let me bring in Maria Joe at rt.ie. 51551 is the text number, and 0818 715 815. Maria is in France. Maria, you're listening to Sarah.
Yes, I am, Joe. I listen to most days.
Okay.
I just want to say that I'm absolutely horrified that this little girl can't bring her dog with her into the house. I mean, I spent 3 months with my daughter in Australia over Christmas. She has a new baby. The baby sleeps with her staffy, who has since passed on. He was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And dogs, these staffies in Australia, back in ancient times, even to the present day, they are all called nanny dogs because they were used to rear the children to help the mother. Now, I grew up in County Clare in Cracklow with dogs. My father trained dogs. There is no such thing as a dangerous breed. It's the proprietor. It's the person who owns the dog. It's like having a child that you let run wild. You have to train the dog. I totally disagree about a dog being vicious and all that, because it's rubbish, Joe. I mean, that girl obviously adores that animal.
Sorry.
There is no viciousness in any animal, except there's viciousness in the person who has the animal and who trains the animal. And really, that's
well, we know the French love their dogs, don't they? They really, every cafe, restaurant, coffee shop, the dog gets a seat before the child. Are there any dogs banned in France, Maria?
No.
Are there any dogs that have to wear a muzzle in France?
No. And Joe, if you ever see, far be it for me to judge anybody, because I treat everybody the same. We're all the same. We're all humans and should be treated thus. If you ever look at somebody who has what is called, in inverted commas, these banned breeds, they're always people who are trying to draw attention to themselves. They treat.
Maria, it's usually the dog. The banned breed, well, they're not banned, the restricted breed that draws attention to themselves by savaging a child.
Because, Joe, that dog, when it's a puppy, it won't savage a child. If that dog is taught the rules like you teach a child, if that dog is trained, if that dog is socialised, that dog will never touch anybody. It's the person, my father used to always say it, look to the owner. And if, I mean, normally these people who have these, as they're called, savage breeds, which I already said I totally disagree with, they're always, a lot of them are nasty people, and they give the dogs a bad name.
But I'm looking, I've just been handed a piece here about banned dogs in France. Okay, where you say there are no dogs banned. Well, listen to this. And we know how they love their dogs. France has two classifications for dangerous dogs. Category 1 dogs are defined as attack dogs without pedigree papers. By the way, Sarah, do you have Buster's papers?
I have, yeah.
Okay. These dogs are considered dangerous and the import of these breeds are prohibited in France. They are not allowed to be transported in the cabin or as cargo in an airplane to France. According to the Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Forestry in France, Category 1 attack dogs are defined by their morphology and physical affinity to the following breeds. Staffordshire Terrier. There we go again, Maria. It's number 1. Yeah. American Staff. Yeah. I don't know what a Japanese Toso is. I've never heard. Or a ball. But there is the buying and selling of these breeds are banned. And it is compulsory to de-sex these dog breeds in France. Is Buster neutered, Sarah?
No, he's not, no.
Oh, he's not neutered, okay. Where's Francis Hopkins? Maria, yes. Come here, Maria, yes.
Sorry for cutting you across.
No, you're fine, you're fine.
I'm sad to say, I grew up with animals. We had probably at least 7 dogs in our household, different breeds, and they were like members of the family. I have to say, these people who make these rules and regulations, they have never probably had a dog. They have no idea about the temperament of dogs. They have no idea how to socialize dogs. I mean, I accept what you're saying. These dogs are banned, but my whole point is the dogs should not be banned. I mean, that little girl that you're speaking with there, I have a little dog here sitting on my lap.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if somebody said to me, you cannot bring your dog into your house, it would break my heart because
I know.
I live alone. What
breed is your dog, Maria?
My little dog is a cross between a Shih Tzu and a Bichon.
So he or she is very small.
She's very small, but she rules the house.
I know that. What is her name?
Her name is Colleen, which means girl in Irish.
Ah, lovely. Okay. Stay there, Maria. Yeah. Where's Anne? Anne, good afternoon. Anne is in the Midlands. Your point, please, Anne. You're listening to Sarah. Maria, go ahead, Anne.
Hi, good afternoon, Joe. Joe, the point I wanted to make is that, you know, I have dogs myself. I have Cavapoos. And as my dogs have been so soft, gentle-natured, minded like babies, but one of them now, she is 11 and a half.
Okay.
And as she's aging, she's actually starting to snap a little bit.
Oh, good luck.
You know, and it's very out of character, but yet if we look at elderly people, you know, character and personality can change as people, as animals get older. They can develop little pains. And I just think it's very important to realize that, you know, dogs cannot be trusted 100%. Ever. Yeah. Ever.
Yeah, dogs eat bones, yeah.
Yeah, they do. And I just noticed, actually, on a Facebook feed that a lady in her 50s yesterday died at the hands of two of these ex-bully breeds.
Yeah.
You know? But we can't use the reason that a dog is aging, as they would never cause harm. In actual fact, they're probably more likely to.
What do you think? Stay with us, Anne. What do you think of that argument, Sarah, from Anne? As humans get older, they get more fragile, they might get a bit more vulnerable, they might get a bit more cranky in a good way. With justification, because you can't be pushed around, you can't be jumping up and down the way you were when you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s or 60s, especially when you get old. Sarah, so has Buster had any physical problems?
No, none at all. His whole life he's been around newborns all the way up to my eldest. And he was forced in the house before I had my child, my eldest child. So he's been around newborns his whole life. He's well.
And did you do anything? Okay, Buster was there before your baby. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was Buster at home when the baby was brought home?
He was, yeah.
And did you do anything to introduce Buster to the baby or vice versa so Buster wouldn't get jealous?
We did.
They do get jealous of babies, you know that.
No, we did. We done everything that we were supposed to do. We were giving him some hats that my son had been wearing so he'd have his scent and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, that was a good idea,
Everybody was always...
Sarah, what do you think of Anne's point that as dogs get older, like all of us, you can become more sensitive, you can become more jumpy?
Yeah, no, I do take that as a fair point. But what I'm saying is that with Buster, he's used to everything. He's used to the house being full. He's used to the kids. And obviously, when they were toddlers, they'd be at him all the time. And he's never, that's what he enjoys. He enjoys the company of the children and stuff.
And what type of dog have you got? The dog that's getting old and a little bit tetchy.
Yeah. She is a Cavapoo.
A Cavapoo, that's a teddy bear dog, isn't it?
Yes.
Like Charlie Boar's dog, I think.
Yeah.
Charlie and Claire's
and
dog.
Has always been, you know, around grandkids.
Yeah.
And, you know, would have showed signs of jealousness of grandkids. But I think what's a little bit sad, Sarah, is I think it would be really good if you could just hear other people's points of view and reflect on that. Rather than be so focused on protecting your dog. I fully understand you adore your dog as I do. But there are points being made today. And I think it would be helpful to take that on board.
Okay.
Because we cannot trust our dogs 100%. And as they age, they do develop aches, pains, and it can change their personality.
Okay, stay with us, Sarah. Stay with us, Anne, as well. We have a caller, one of our listeners in Spain, will be talking to us after this break. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 and 0818715815.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Visit one of our 44 stores across Ireland for quality curtains and bedding at great prices. Find your perfect style today.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Sarah's contacted us. She lives in one of a tenancy provided by one of the great housing associations around the country. A lot of them obviously supported by the state, rightly so. Tua Housing, and Tua Housing do not allow dogs that are classified as being dangerous in their tenancies, and they've just discovered that Sarah has a 10-year-old Staffordshire Bull Terrier called Buster, and they've given her 14 days to ask Buster to leave, not to be put down, but and Sarah is deeply, deeply upset, as people have heard. Dean Murphy is in Spain. Dean, you're listening.
Yes. I had a boxer, Joe. Now, I've had them all my life. I went to an equestrian college. I grew up with animals. Completely trusted the dog, 100% like that lady. Unfortunately, the dog developed epilepsy and took a seizure. And as he hit the floor, he was out for about a minute and a half. And as he came around, I was trying to console him, looking mm-hmm. at him and like rubbing his face. And he launched at me and grabbed a hold of my face. Now, I've sent you in a picture. Okay. And grabbed a hold of my lips. Now, the dog realized what he'd done and froze, but I had to physically use my hands to pry his jaws open and take my face out of his mouth. So I completely second that last person, that their temperaments can change. And in it, like, this dog slept in the bed between me and my husband all his life.
Yeah.
And in an instant, they can change.
And what was your dog's name, by the way? Sorry, the boxer.
Yeah, his name was Elmo.
Elmo. And what happened, Elmo, do you think?
He had a seizure, and when he came around, he had brain damage, Joe. And literally, he just didn't know his surroundings, launched at me and attacked me.
Oh, my God, I'm just looking at that photograph. Oh, my God.
And, like, literally, I physically had to pry his jaws open to take
that.
My face out of his mouth.
And
like, that dog slept in the bed between me and my husband. He was loved. He was in Gran Canaria. He's been in Barcelona. He's been in Tenerife. He's traveled the world with us, nearly.
And what happened to Emma after that?
I had to put him to sleep, Joe.
Yeah, okay.
Unfortunately, when he came around, because of the brain damage, it was so severe that he couldn't even stand up. He tried to stand up and the back end would flop over and fall over. Now, if there was an opportunity of me keeping him, I would have kept him. I knew it was a mistake what the dog done. But I'd just like to second the other person that you cannot trust them 100%.
And what would you say to Sarah? Dean, you're a dog lover, obviously. She's a dog lover. She's been told she's 14 days to get rid of Buster.
All I can say is try to rehome Buster with a member of family that knows Buster.
Is that a possibility, Sarah? Yeah,
that's not a possibility for me, no.
My heart absolutely bleeds for you. I completely understand where you're coming from. But on the point of view from the people that own the property, they don't want a lawsuit.
Yeah.
No, I will.
Well, taking on board go in the direction that Dean. Sorry, let us go in the direction that Dean is introducing. He's saying, can you give, a relative can. Is there anyone nearby that could take Buster and you could visit Buster on a daily basis and take him for a walk?
No, my only option that I have available is to rehome him with the Southeast Animal Rescue. If I can't get something sorted in the 14 days, then
I know 14 days is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous time frame for you to expect to be able to read.
Yeah, it's really not fair at all.
But and Dean, come in on this if you wish. You know more about dogs than I do. But Sarah and you, Sarah, if you rehome Buster now, he's not going to be a happy camper, is he?
No, he won't.
Definitely not.
Because he's so old, and it wouldn't
he's
really
not gonna
be fair.
Settle into he's not going to settle into a new property where they don't know him. It would need to be somebody that knows the dog.
So that means
that's my argument as well. So it's not fair that we have to do this, but especially on my daughter. She was going into school this morning and she asked me, "Mom, please don't let anybody take him until I come home." And as a mom, having to try and promise your child that and not being able to keep it, it's not really fair.
It's heartbreaking. You're in a terrible situation. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
And it's a logic, not Sarah, that if you give him to the rescue will try and get a home for him, but the chances of Buster getting a new home, given his age and the fact that he will be unhappy, the chances of him getting a new home are slim.
It's not because of his age, not an awful lot of people want to be dealing with an old dog. When people want to get a dog, it's always a pup or a younger dog.
The dog I had, Elmo, he was a rescue. Now, I picked him up in Gran Canaria. He had come from Austria to Gran Canaria. And the lady that owned him, he was only a puppy, he was only 6 months old. She had died in the apartment, and he stayed in the apartment for 6 days until the cleaning service came with a dead body. God. And he had to drink the water out of the toilet just to survive. And he was skin and bone when I got him. So he was the most loved dog in the world. But unfortunately, once he developed epilepsy, everything changed.
And he wasn't. He's not classified. I don't know what the situation is in Spain.
No, boxes. They're classified in Spain as potentially a dangerous dog. I needed to bring him to a vet where they do a test where, they'll run up to you and approach you and see the dog react.
The temperament test.
Then the vet will certify them as being safe. Otherwise, you have to walk them with a muzzle. Any dog over 25 kilos in Spain must be muzzled.
And did you walk? Did that mean that Elmo had to be muzzled?
No. Once you do the temperament test, you can unmuzzle.
There is such thing as a temperament test. Okay, stay with us, Dean. Francis Hop, Dean, have you got a dog now?
No, unfortunately, I don't. Once I put Elmo to sleep, I just didn't have the heart to get another one. After 25 years of having boxers, it just destroyed me.
And were you with Elmo when he went to sleep?
Yes.
Okay.
The vets over here are very nice, and they bring out a piece of plaster putty and they make an impression of the paw print and put an RIP date on it, and they give you the impression of the print.
You couldn't face Asher, you couldn't, Sarah.
No.
Unfortunately, Joe, I had no choice.
I know, I'm looking.
The dog couldn't stand up. If the dog was able to stand up and be fit and healthy, I would have kept him. I knew it was a mistake. But I'm just saying, you need to be so careful that they can't turn in an instant and they don't know what they're doing.
Mm. Oh, God. And by the way, did you recover from those injuries?
Yeah, no problem, Joe. I had a couple of stitches on the left and right side of my face, but that was it.
Well done, yeah. And were you in shock when it happened, Dean?
Yeah, but Joe, I was adrenaline and shock. I didn't know what to do first, bring the dog to the vet or bring me to the hospital.
Okay, Francis Hopkins, 51551, Joe at RT.ie. Francis, you're listening to Sarah. What do you think Sarah should do?
Yes, well, I'm completely sympathetic to Sarah, and I'll tell you why. The gentleman that was on before talking about his dog that had a seizure, the same thing could happen with a human who had a seizure or a dog that has been hit by a car. They could bite you, that's true. But where Sarah is concerned, the Staffordshire Terrier is 10 years of age. The dog has never bitten anyone. And if Sarah abides by the Control of Dogs Act, and has the dog on a leash and a collar when she's walking it, if she's able to do that, I'm unfamiliar with her, what she's able to do and what she can't do. I don't really see that she's breaching anything, even a little muzzle if she wants.
Well, in fairness, she's breaching the rules of her tenancy in this housing association. And that says
they may be silly rules, to begin with. I mean, there are
rules brought in by the state, and Ireland is not the only state. France have done it, England have done it, Ireland.
But they still may be silly rules.
The rules are, they're not about you can't have a cup of tea between 7 in the morning and 10.
I haven't phoned in to argue with you. I want to say about Sarah, I'm very sympathetic to Sarah. I have five dogs, right? If I may say this.
Yeah, please
do. I'm well experienced with dogs, right? And I'm a responsible dog owner. Anybody who knows me will confirm that. And I can honestly say that Staffordshire Terriers, I have never had any aggression. I don't have a Staffordshire Terrier, mm-hmm. but I know plenty of people who do. And they're very lovable dogs. They're not sort of vicious. They're not aggressive.
So why have they been classified as a dangerous breed? And I'm not arguing with you, Francis, because I didn't classify the staff as a dangerous breed.
Yeah, I know that, Jess. I know that.
So why are they?
To say, yeah. Well, I, that's the big mystery. You know that expression, punish the deed, not the breed. Now, there's no comparison between a very large dog, we'll say, the ex-bullies that somebody mentioned, and this top dog that Sarah has. And I, to be honest, it is heartbreaking to think that at 10 years of age, her Staffordshire Terrier is basically on either death row or adoption row. That's what the two choices. And it's horrendous that she has to make that choice. I'd ask the question, has the dog ever bitten anyone, any of the neighbours, anybody in the vicinity of where she lives?
No.
No, Sarah. No, well, there you are. Well, so no, it's a well-behaved dog.
No, Francis, it's not where you are. The answer is no so far.
But you're saying that you're upholding... I know it's your duty as the programme... coordinator, is that the right term? I'm not sure what it is. But I know that you have to support the laws of the land, the laws of the country. Yeah. But all I'll say is that I think if you have a breed that's on the dangerous list, and if that breed is under control and you abide by all the rules and regulations, having it on a leash, having it muzzled if necessary when it's out in public places, that might be the solution.
Okay, and I take your point. The state have decided that certain dogs are dangerous breeds, but they haven't banned the dog. They've actually made regulations which you referred to there about muzzles of being on a leash. But this housing association... Yes. Has gone, you could argue, a step further. That there's, they've said, well, we will allow pets and we will allow responsible pet owners, but we won't allow dangerous breeds as decided by the state.
That is, how are they defining dangerous breeds? The Housing Association, I don't know who they are.
It's two what they're called. They're very, very reputable.
They're very reputable, did you say?
Yeah, it's two. It's a housing agency. They're brilliant. All these clues. No, that's fine. But
can I just go in there, though, for a second?
Of course, Sarah,
You and your team were the ones that reached out to me offered to help. You asked for me to come on to tell my story, but I'm feeling a bit like you're kind of attacking. Do you know what I mean?
Can I just come back to something?
You reached out to me. I didn't reach out to you.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
Can
I just come back to something that Francis said, Sarah? And this is the dilemma for you. I understand your dilemma, and I am sympathetic to you, and I hope you heard that earlier. But Francis said that the way things are at the minute, Buster is either facing adoption row or death row. But Dean was making the point, and I think you would agree with the point, the problem now with Buster is he's 10 years of age, he's so attached to your family that the likelihood of him being adopted by another family is very slim, unfortunately, isn't it?
Extremely slim, Joe, because there's so many dogs that are homeless.
And the solution that's come up so far, Dean suggested, was there any possibility of giving them to a family member? And you said quite clearly that doesn't arise. Is there any possibility of someone living near you? But would that be satisfactory for you, Sarah? If someone nearby said, "I'll take the dog," and I'll take that. By the way, Sarah, it was South East Animal Rescue called us asking to raise the issue and contact you, and you're I'm very grateful that you came on. But it was South East Animal Rescue asked us to try and help. And that's what they're doing, and they put us on. But if someone came on living near you, Sarah, and said, "I will take the dog, I'm good with dogs, but it means Sarah and her family can come around on a regular basis and take Buster for a walk," would that, because the alternative to me seems drastic, doesn't it?
It is drastic, and it's not fair what's happening. Like, Buster belongs to me, he belongs to my kids. Yeah. He doesn't belong to anybody else. He's mine. And that's the way I want it to stay.
Okay. Stay listening to Mark Fairman. Mark, good afternoon. You contacted us. Thanks, Francis. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Good. You're listening.
I'd just like to say, first of all, I am a dog owner, and I have two dogs, a Weimaraner and a Wiesler. So there's tendencies which are bred into dogs. My two dogs, I don't hunt, but they're traditionally hunting dogs. But if they were to see a pheasant or something, they would naturally point, you know, they'd naturally stalk it. And a lot of these dogs, which are on the banned list, were bred for fighting or they're bred for baiting, you know, other animals. So they do have those tendencies in them. While it's personality dog to dog, and it is pretty much 100% training, in my opinion, those tendencies are in those dogs. So when it goes wrong with those dogs, it goes very wrong. If you look up the banned dog list and dog bite force, you'll see a correspondence. A lot of those dogs which are on the dangerous list have the strongest bite force of any dog. So when it goes wrong with those dogs,
the strongest, the line's a little bit fuzzy. The strongest, what did you say, Mark? The strongest bite?
Bite force.
Bite force, okay. Yeah.
Yes, you know, like something like a Canine Corso has a similar bite force to a lion. So if it goes wrong with a dog like that, it goes very wrong, you know? So there's a reason why those dogs are on that list.
Okay, stay with us for a sec. Jane McDonough. Jane, you're listening to Sarah and you're upset.
Yeah, I am upset, Joe. I cannot believe that after 10 years she's been put in that situation. I've rescued huskies, I've rescued dogs for the last, after I don't know how many years, but it's not, and I agree with the lady that was talking earlier about her dogs rescuing, or her father training dogs. You never look at the dog. You look at the owner. Because a lot of people breed their dogs to fight. They have all these caps that they're like, you know, like the things you put on for blood pressure. They have these things on their arm they train, like they train police dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that on Facebook all the time. They're training these dogs to be vicious. And if you can... I have huskies, right? Adults crossed the road when I was walking with the two of them 6 years ago when they were at the height of their fitness. They look like wolves. Kids love them. Absolutely adore them. But they have... Kids would bend down and give kisses to the two lads.
Yeah.
No problem at all. Now, I also agree with that lady who said, because I've lost one of my huskies, I now have a 12-year-old husky.
Okay.
And he's coming over to look at me because he thinks I'm giving out. All right, Rio. And he is a bit grumpy now. He has arthritis.
Okay.
He's a bit more tetchy and is likely to be a bit more snappy. You have to know your dog.
Yeah.
And if you know your dog and love your dog, you will never allow your dog to be in a situation where it could hurt somebody or harm somebody. I have a beautiful adopted daughter who's just had a grandson. I will not let Rio near him.
Would you not? Why?
No.
Why?
He can lick his toes.
Yeah.
But I will not let him near. And he's a lovely licker. He'll lick your face. But I will not let him near the child's face.
And has Rio been in the company of your new grandchild?
Absolutely. He grew up with my kids, Joe. But he is an old man now. And like myself, I'm 60 this year.
Well, that's young.
You get a bit grumpier as you get older.
but you have to recognise your dog.
So what do you do with Rio when the grandchild with your daughter visits?
I would watch him.
Okay.
And carefully monitor the situation. He would reach out sometimes from the pram and give him on the sideway, but I would not let Rio up into the child's face. And that gentleman that was on earlier on made a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
At any stage, a dog can change. A dog is a dog.
Yeah.
They might be family pets and we all adore them, but a dog is a dog. And I'm sorry for being so, and I feel so sorry for that girl, because if somebody
Jane, what would your advice be to Sarah? Because that's what she's looking for.
If she was in I can't, because of him now he's so old and grumpy. Mm. I was even looking at a husky out of Madra a couple of weeks ago, and it's just not suitable. But she has to find... To be fair, Joe, I'm going to say it. She should not be in this situation in the first place. It's ridiculous.
It's a family pet.
It's part of the family.
How long, Sarah? How insofar as you can judge, do staffies, how old did they live for? How long did they live for?
As far as I'm aware, they only have... Their life expectancy is only up until they're 14.
Same as Huskies, yes.
Okay, where's Buster now, Sarah?
He's with me.
God, he's very quiet, isn't he?
He is.
In a nice way, yeah.
He's so old that he just sleeps on the sofa all day. He doesn't do anything. Stays on the sofa all day.
And where's Rio now, Jane? He's beside, isn't he?
Rio's licking his paws because we only got back from a walk about 30 minutes ago and it was lashing all day in Kilkenny, so he has a bit of cleaning to do.
And what does he do? What's he do next? He sits down and...
Gives out if people come into the house. He does not like men, but he was a rescue and he was badly abused by a man before I got him.
Joe,
I didn't come on to because you have to understand. I'm 60 years of age. I have my daughter and son. Well, he's not my son-in-law yet, but I reckon he's going to be. They're going to Canada in August.
Okay.
Rio is going to be my own. People don't realise, for people, I'm 60 years of age, if my daughter wasn't living here and they're only back a year and a half because they're going to Canada, it's me and Rio.
Yeah.
If I didn't have Rio, I would go to the shop maybe once every couple of days, Joe. But with Rio, I get out 3-4 times a day.
Of course.
I meet people.
Yeah.
And Rio's so gentle and loving, but now because he's a bit grumpier with the arthritis and he's on medication, but he's a tad grumpier.
Okay.
All people need, and I've been attacked by dogs. I can show you a scar that my doctor actually reported the dogs, the owners to the guards, because it came so close to losing my life on my wrist. They attacked me so badly. And they were Labradors.
Oh, God.
And they're not on the list.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Okay, stay with us, Sarah. Thanks, Jane. Stay with us if you can. And back after this break, joe at rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Revamp your home this May with our fresh new curtain embedding designs. Discover comfort and style for every room.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Southeast Rescue contacted us, and they're a great organisation, Dog Rescue, and they contacted us about a dog called Buster, who is living with Sarah and has been indeed for 10 years all his life with the family. And Sarah lives in a TUA tenancy, TUA, a housing association, another great organisation. But TUA rules don't allow dogs that are listed by the Irish state as dangerous breeds. Though in fairness, dangerous breeds in Ireland are listed, but they're not banned. There are certain restrictions which Sarah is adamant that she adheres to. Patricia Blade, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jim.
You're listening to Sarah. Have you any advice?
Not really, Joe, but I mean, my opinion on this is that you can never trust a dog. I don't care. I've had dogs all my life. My mother had a dog before I was born. And I mean, I never say to someone, if someone says, no, your dog bite, and I say, well, I don't know, he might. Mm-hmm. He could bite. But, you know, you can't. It's all this business saying about the owners and things like that. But I have a rule with my grandchildren. They're never on their own with doors shut with dogs.
Wow. Why?
Because you don't know. Like my son, when he was about 4 or 5, he had a beautiful golden retriever, a lady golden retriever, and she was fast asleep on the sitting room floor. And he decided he'd jump off the chair onto her, and she bit him. And she bit him on the chest, a little nip.
Yeah, but still,
his fault. I mean, the dog wouldn't have bit him in a month of Sunday, but she just got a fright. But that's what I'm saying. You don't know that a tail gets pulled and suddenly the dog will turn around and take the hand off a baby. You can't do that. I mean, my granddaughter was here now yesterday and she wanted to feed. We've got a springer at the moment. Now, he's very gentle taking food off her. But the same, we watched her just to make sure that you just don't know. I'd be afraid of that you wouldn't be able to kind of control things. And that's what I like, that they know. Even my eldest now was 21. He knows. He knew as a child not to be in the room.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we had dogs. He played with them. He loved them.
And what would your advice to Sarah be?
God, it's hard, really. I mean, what I'd like is that if someone could maybe live near or take the dog. And maybe she could go and visit and things like that. But apart from that, the only thing is probably to euthanise, I suppose.
Okay, no, I don't.
I mean, she has no chance of finding a house, let's say, and just another house, or go to another housing estate, the way we are at the moment in this country. Maybe the housing authority has been a bit strict. Maybe they should look into these people that want to bring their dogs.
That's a good angle. Let's go down that road just for a sec, Sarah. Have you said to the housing association, well, listen, I guarantee that any time Buster leaves my accommodation, he will always be on a lead by someone over 16 and he will always be muzzled.
Yeah, no, they are aware of that. I have spoken to them about it, and they know that he's never left without being on a lead or anything. He's always with somebody over 16. He's never left unattended on his own. It's just a horrible situation to be in right now. But I might have to cut short, Joe, because my kids are coming in from school
right now.
Yeah, of
course. Okay. Well, it's okay. Well, that was one of the suggestions I see coming in, Sarah. Look after your kids. That's the key, as you do. You're brilliant. Okay, Sarah, I'll take a break and back after this. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Visit one of our 44 stores across Ireland for quality curtains and bedding at great prices. Find your perfect style today.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Margaret Downey's in Dublin. You had that compromise, Margaret. Go ahead.
Hello, yes. I'm actually in Wexford, Joe.
Okay, yeah.
Thanks for taking my call. Yes, that was my point, that really, I think under the circumstances, since Buster has shown no sign of aggression, is already in old age and is a family dog, that if he was taken out on a lead with a harness and a muzzle, if Sarah could promise that there might be some grounds for appeal. I can understand going forward, if people are coming into the estate or the complex, that this rule is enforced. But she has been living there. It's inhumane.
The housing association would say, we didn't know Buster was living there.
Well,
and our rules state that Buster should not have been living there.
Well, you can get retrospective planning permission, so maybe under the circumstances you can get retrospective compassion, because the dog has no history of aggression. I have 5 dogs, and you have to watch them all, because they all have the potential to be aggressive.
Yeah,
they all have, but that doesn't mean they are aggressive. And I really think under the circumstances, this country is in crisis at the moment with unhomed dogs, abandoned dogs, cruel cases of cruelty, and the rescues and the pounds are heaving. And this is a dog coming to the end of its life. Like, he probably has 12 years, really.
He's 10. Buster's 10, yeah.
Yes, so, bigger dogs don't live as long as smaller dogs. I think if some sort of campaign was set up just to fight, via your show, via the Southeast Rescue, just not immunity, but an amnesty for poor Buster, because it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Say what is Margaret. Grace Kelly is on the line. Grace, good afternoon. You're in the US.
Yes.
If you're listening, you're originally from Glasnevin in Dublin. You have a rescue dog.
I have. A couple of years ago, I got a 7-year-old pit bull.
Okay.
Who was a big dog, and I had gotten him because he had actually taken the ear off a mastiff, which is another very large breed.
Yeah.
But when I saw him, it was interesting because when I was looking for another dog, because I'd lost my other dog, Molly, and I just needed something to fill a void that I'd missed.
Okay.
And he was his story just got to me. And, I realized that he doesn't like men. There's certain things that can trigger him.
He doesn't like men.
But generally, he is the best dog ever. He doesn't like men because, obviously, it was a man that, had been a debate dog. And he's full of scars, full of bruises. And
Grace, what's a bait dog?
The bait dog is the one that they use when they're fighting. It's like
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. He's covered in scars.
Oh, my God.
He had to have his knee replaced, his hip replaced, like all kinds of stuff.
And, Grace, have you any advice for Sarah or any ideas for compromise it?
Well, like all dogs, you've got to really watch them. But I do think I agree with the last listener. There should be some kind of amnesty if it's a therapy dog. Maybe in the States we have therapy dogs. Maybe they could get something like that. Mm. I just think it's awfully sad that, and especially when he's older. When they get old, they just sleep all the time.
They sleep. That's
what mine does. Mine's now 10.
Well, Buster slept through Lifeline. I'm sure he's not the first, but he did sleep. He slept through Lifeline. Crazy, he's still asleep there on the couch. Sarah tells us, Geraldine.
Yeah,
before we go,
okay.
So thank you, Greg. Geraldine.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You'll be twixt and between, I'm told. Do you?
Well, I accept the dangers of dogs and the potential they have for danger. But on the other hand, my sympathy is with that lady and her family if they've had this dog all their lives and he's a family pet. And I know how attached people can become to their family pets. And she seems very responsible. And I'm just wondering if they can, the housing organisation that she's living in, if there's some compromise that they can come to us, they can review it. I agree with your second last listener who was suggesting about the retrospective compassion and so on.
Okay, Geraldine took a breath and it's the phone line.
We have a dog, a golden retriever dog, and about 2 years ago he was at the kennels for a very short space of time, but when he came home he had a very bad infection, which we couldn't account for. He got a very bad kidney infection. And we were trying to explore because the kennels were highly reputable, beautiful facilities, fantastic. But apparently it's proven fact that dogs, when they're separated from their owners, they have separation anxiety, and it actually causes these difficulties. So, she, the lady Sarah, is very responsible. And if they could sit down and discuss, and if she could continue that responsibility, I mean, if the dog is sleeping, and they do as they're older, and as she mentioned there in her conversation, I was listening to that, he's asleep on the sofa for most of the day.
Yeah, that was said as well. I understand people are betwixt and between. Claire McKay, who contacted us from Southeast Rescue. Claire, you've listened now on anyway, you've heard it's been nearly 50-50. Yeah. Have you any ideas? Have you any suggestions at this stage?
To be honest, like I can see where everybody is coming from both sides, and I think everybody has a right to their opinions. But I do feel, especially in this instance, that it should be done on a case-by-case basis. I think that considering the circumstances here, that an exception should be made. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the pictures, Joe, yourself, but Sarah sent them to me last night.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just tell, like, the kids are all over him and he's loving it. He's sleeping on them, he's sleeping with them. And I understand where people's concerns come in.
Yeah.
But in this particular instance, he's as good as a therapy dog.
Okay.
And an assistance dog. And I just think it's a disgrace that he'd be taken away from the only family that he's known at 10 years old.
And Claire, have you come across it with other housing associations? Or Wexford County Council seem to have the same policy.
Yeah, like, I mean, across the board, like, we've gotten so many emails in, especially since the start of the year, where people are in similar situations, not necessarily a banned breed or a restricted breed, but whereby their landlords have either changed contracts or they are basically facing eviction if they don't get rid of their dog. And it's heartbreaking.
Okay. Okay, let's see what develops. Okay, thanks to Neil, Claire McKay of the wonderful organisation Southeast Animal Rescue. Annette Egan produced. Ray Darcy is there and he's live from the University of Galway on day two of Run With Ray Week. Ray!
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Revamp your home this May with our fresh new curtain and bedding designs. Discover comfort and style for every room.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.